Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we hear the recent news about Iranian military leader Qasem Soleimani, who was reported killed in a drone strike in Baghdad Thursday night, we hear things like Soleimani led Iran's unconventional warfare unit, the Quds Force, and an organization that President Trump recently designated as a terrorist organization. We also hear that the Pentagon's official estimate is that the death of 608 service members can be attributed back to Iran's unconventional warfare tactics taken between 2003 and 2011. The main effort was training Shia militia members to wage jihad in Iraq, particularly on the use of a specialized IED called an explosively formed penetrator, or an EFP. Now, as the term EFPs is being used more frequently in the news as we cover the situation, it reminded me of a recent episode of the podcast Vet Story. In the episode titled From NYPD Cop to Interrogator in Iraq, we heard Christopher Strom talk about his book Brooklyn to Baghdad. And during our conversation, Strom tells his story about going from former NYPD cop and counterterrorism specialist to being part of the elite counterinsurgency group Phoenix Team. It was during our interview that he shared his experience with Iranian influence in the Iraq War and these deadly weapons called EFPs. What, 06, 07, 08?
Is this pre-surge? 08.
No, okay, so this is during surge.
Yeah, this is during the surge, yeah. Yeah. Mm. This whole program was designed to try and catch up because, you know, this was a counterinsurgency. It was a different type of warfare. Yeah. They're hiding among civilian populations. And by the way, by the time I got there, just so people understand, the majority of the deaths related to soldiers and coalition forces was not small rounds fire. It was Iranian EFPs. So the chances of you being killed while out on a dismounted patrol from a sniper was probably hovering around 10%. Okay, still real, still a real threat, and you had to be conscious of it. And again, it's situation driven too. Which AO were you operating in? So I'm not going to blanket state that. But the majority of the people that were being killed by an EFP that went right through the side of an MRAP and came out the other. That's how they were being killed. And so because of that, you know, the incentive now is to find these people that are part of this cell because now they're getting financial and material support from Iran. And, you know, something has to be done about this because the Army is not going to just stop doing operations because they're getting killed, unfortunately, driving down the road. So I make that point because that's why we were there. We weren't there to engage the enemy. We were there to take out the insurgency that was killing Joe and our coalition forces.
And you said so much, but every time I hear the word Iranian influence, man, don't we dance around that?
Oh,
We dance around that so much in policy.
I wrote the Hewmett reports based on interrogation of these people. Okay, I know about Iranian influence. I know because I have the physical pictures of it. I have the actual statements from people that told me about their affiliation. So it's undeniable. And we had a person there, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but some people might be less familiar with, Muqtada al-Sadr.
Sadr City.
And we would have targets that we knew about that were coming in, causing the problems in our battle space, and retreating to Sadr City, and we could not action those targets. Period. Mm. You're not going into Sadr City. It became basically a safe city, like what's going on here in the United States, where they have sanctuary cities. They basically had a sanctuary city for terrorists. The Army was not going to go in there. They were not going to go in there. And believe me, if somebody punches me in the face, I'm good with it, but I'm punching you back. Yeah. Time out. We got to get these guys.
For more on this and the rest of Christopher Strom's harrowing journey, from stopping terrorists in a post-9/11 New York City to working alongside special operations, You can check out his full interview on the podcast Vet Story, available through the Radio.com app and everywhere you find podcasts. I'm Phil Briggs for ConnectingVets.com.